Rubical cycle. And so the bottom line is that the Rubical cycle basically is this topological theta term, but however defined for discrete space-time, like a space-time lattice. So maybe I will, so today we'll talk about some additional development in the sense, you know, in last Friday, we mentioned that you're adding this 2-pi quantized topological theta term. Although you don't change the bulk dynamics, but you really change the phase of a system, and you get a non-trivial edge state, and etc. So it looks like adding this 2-pi quantized topological term is a way to twist a theory and to obtain new phase matter, a new theory. So today it's some further development in this line of thinking is that in last Friday we talked about how to twist a nonlinear thing model. So now today we ask, how can we twist a gauge theory? So if you twist nonlinear thing model, we get a different so-called symmetry protect topological phase. And however, if we twist a gauge theory, what do we get? You know. So what's the story of a twisting gauge theory? So today is not mathematics, basically maybe more physics, but also today's topic is much less developed. There's a lot of unknown. But since last Friday we mainly talked about mathematics, so maybe let me try to explain a little bit what is the physics background. And also, that's also you can put up today's stuff in some context. So basically, here we consider so-called a gapped system. And so we only consider a gapped system. So if Hamiltonian have no symmetry, then the story is that we still have a different phase, and there are so-called short-run entangled states. Under long-run entangled states. The short-run entangled states is a state which you can deform into a product state. So there's a continuously connect to the product states. However, the long-run entangled states are the states which cannot deform into product state without closing energy gap or without phase transition. And for long-run entangled states, they cannot deform into each other. You know, so there's many different kinds of long-run entangled states. And this state is called a topological order. And this is just one simple way to understand topological order. And for the Hamiltonian with a symmetry, then there is a much more variety of possibility. The things become much richer. You know, without symmetry, if Hamiltonian had no symmetry, there's only one short-run entangled state. But for Hamiltonian with symmetry, we have a possibility of symmetry breaking. So even short-run entangled states can have a different phase. So this is a symmetry breaking state. So for the symmetry breaking states, those states can be described by a pair of a group. GH is a group for Hamiltonian. G phi is a group of ground states. So this pair of a group actually completely classify all the possible symmetry breaking order that's here. But what is amazing is that even if you do not break any symmetry, then we still have a different phase for short-run entangled case. So those phases have a property that if you break the symmetry, you can deform this phase into the product states. But however, if you preserve the symmetry during deformation, you cannot deform them into each other. If you break the symmetry, you can deform them into each other without Collins energy gap, etc. But if you do not break symmetry, you cannot do that. So this is an additional shuttle thing. And this shuttle thing, this is a topic we discussed last Friday. So in last Friday, we say, like symmetry breaking states, we can use a pair of a group to classify all the symmetry breaking order. See, last Friday, we tried to argue that we can use in this so-called group cohomology of the symmetry group, which is unbroken, to classify all the different so-called SPT phases. So those states are SPT states, symmetry product topology states. So this is the physical content of last Friday's stuff. And the idea is that we study nonlinear sigma model in disordered phase. And then we find this nonlinear sigma model, we can add a lot of twists, different kind of twists. And each twist do not affect bulk dynamics. We're still in a disordered phase. But however, each different twist gave us different SPT phase. So by classifying nonlinear sigma model with all different kind of twists, then we actually classify this symmetry protect topology phase. So we classify this kind of phase. So this is what we discussed last Friday. So to be a little bit more specific, is that so let's consider a nonlinear sigma model defined on this space-time complex. Yes. Hmm? So with the symmetry, the symmetry is described by this group G. So we call the GH.
So in our case, what was the symmetry?
And this result apply for any symmetry. So, you know, so the key is falling. So this is so-called, this is a shorter entangled symmetric state is falling. If we break the symmetry, all those gapped phase can deform each other without phase transition. So that means they're kind of same. But however, if you preserve the symmetry during deformation, they cannot deform into each other. So then how many different kind of phase under this symmetry preserving deformation? And so we only need one input, that's a symmetry group. So once we have know the symmetry group, by computing this group cohomology, I should use in curl to be more precise. And then we know how many different kind of this shorter entangled symmetric phase do we have. The mathematics goes like following. We consider a nonlinear sigma model where the GI belong to this group. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's so-called 2-pi quantized topological term. And so if you're using the field theory, this is a partition function. Okay. Using field theory, we usually write the Lagrangian as a, you know, dx d plus 1. And there's some kind of coupling constant, the gradient of g squared. And then we have some kind of a topological term with a 2-pi times k times I. So that's what we discussed last time. Is that if a lambda go to infinity, if you don't have the topological, if lambda go to infinity, this field theory just the G just flashes randomly. So they are in a disordered phase, no symmetry breaking. Certainly if lambda is very small, this term won't have all the G to be the same, a constant. Then you have symmetry breaking. But here we don't have symmetry breaking. And if a lambda is very large, you have the disordered phase, no symmetry breaking. And then looks like we only have one phase, which is G is not ordered. But actually, the answer is no. We can add this 2-pi quantized topological term. This W is quantized as integer. So therefore, this combination always a 2-pi times integer. When adding such term into Lagrangian, looks like we don't change any bulk dynamics. But actually, this theory would describe a different phase. They have different edge property. So this is a philosophy. By adding different 2-pi quantized topological term into the theory, we obtain different theory, and this different theory describe a different phase here. Yeah, in last Friday, we just talked about the different theory. We didn't talk about the phase, but the physical meaning is that this different nonlinear sigma model actually describe different phase here. But the key, the lesson we learned is that you know, when lambda goes to infinity, this term just equal to zero. It's like something like running to zero. But we're adding zero with some kind of two-pi quantum topological term. Then we actually obtain a, so this is what I mean by twist. We twist the theory by this. Then we actually obtain different phase and different theory. And in last Friday, our main problem is that because we are considered disordered phase, we should not do that in the field theory. We should define this twist with a discretized space-time. Because for the disordered phase, the field flashes randomly. So when you do RG, the lattice cutoff eventually will be bigger than correlation length. So there is no smooth field limit. So then we find that to define this 2-pi quantized topological term on lattice, you require exactly the same mathematics as group cohomology. So group cohomology happened to be the mathematics which allow us to define this a twist or define this 2-pi quantized topological term for discretized lattice. So with this knowledge, it's very natural to think we have a lattice gauge theory. Can we do the similar thing to the lattice gauge theory? And then this way we will obtain a different lattice gauge theory, basically. So that's mainly today's topic. And certainly but the lattice gauge theory do not describe the Schottky entangled states. Actually, they describe this Langer entangled state. Actually, before I say that, let me finish one thing, which is it's the last line here. You know, last Friday we talked about the state which do not break any symmetry. Okay. But however, we could have a mix of the two. We have symmetry breaking and some kind of symmetry protected topological appear together. So actually, for those kind of Schottky entangled states, there's a more complete classification with the symmetry breaking falling. We need the three objects. We have a symmetry group of Hamiltonian and the unbroken symmetry, which is a symmetry group of a ground states. And this is actual label. That is a cohomology of an unbroken symmetry group. That's a symmetry group of ground states. That gives us additional label. So this may or may not be true, but at the moment we conjecture that every state of this time are labeled by these three objects. But this is not, we're not sure whether this needs to be extended a little bit or not. But this is a full story. So it's including mix. And the last Friday we talked about the situation where the ground state symmetry group and the symmetry group of Hamiltonian are the same. These two are the same. Then the only classify this one. Okay. So this is a last Friday's topic. Yes. Yes. Oh, non-compact group. Oh. That's a very good question. I don't know. Okay, my concern is that non-compact groups always in a symmetry breaking state. In a sense, the target space has infinite volume, and the system has to stay in some neighborhood. So there's an issue whether non-compact group can have a symmetry non-breaking phase or not. That's the issue.
For example, in crystals, translation symmetry is broken to some discrete.
Yes. But that's a, let me see. This is the one thing. I know. The discrete symmetry is non-compact indeed. So actually, this is a symmetry, so-called unside symmetry. So that's this G only act on the each side. In the lattice, we could have this point group translation symmetry, which is not included here. And so there's more work to be done. So we didn't consider any spatial group, point group. Yes?
So you said that these models lead to gapless edge states. Which constraints do we have in the boundary condition?
So maybe let's go on. Actually, it's a don't have to lead to gapless edge states. So again, this is something we didn't talk about last time. That is, this theory have interesting gap. Okay, the gapless boundary edge state is the one choice. But however, there is other choice. And so let me finish that question. So let me run through some this is important, so let me run through some situation. Suppose G is a discrete. Suppose GH is a finite. And suppose we are in the 2 plus 1 dimension. Suppose we consider this situation. In this case, the boundary is a 1 dimension. But the symmetric group is a finite. But finite group, 1 dimension system, finite group can be spontaneously broken. So there is option, the symmetry can be broken. So therefore, the boundary state have 2 options. Either gapless, which do not break symmetry, or they spontaneously break this symmetry. Open a gap, or you have a degenerate a boundary sector. You have degeneracy. So either degenerate or gapless. Okay. However, if a G symmetry is a continuous. Again, 2 plus 1D. Then we are in a situation in 1 dimension, the continuous group can never break its symmetry. So therefore, in this case, there is only one option, the gapless. So this is what Witten talked about. And so here it can be 2 options, gapless or symmetry breaking. No, here I do not specify the boundary dynamics. I say I can add all the term in the boundary which do not break the symmetry explicitly, but then there's a potential the boundary state may break symmetry spontaneously. So this symmetry breaking really is spontaneous symmetry breaking. So I allow to add any edge dynamics. So I didn't specify how do I cut the edge. But however, for continuous group, no matter how you cut the edge, you can never break continuous group symmetry in 1 plus 1 dimension. So therefore, so for continuous group in 2 plus 1D, we always have gapless edge states. If you do not break symmetry explicitly, certainly if you break symmetry explicitly, you can open the gap. If you do not break symmetry explicitly, you can have a gapless. And another rather interesting is that in higher dimensions, say like 3 plus 1D. For both case. And then we have a gapless. Or spontaneous symmetry breaking. Again, in higher dimension, spontaneous symmetry breaking can happen with both continuous group and discrete group. Or actually topological ordered. Means the boundary state forms something, do not break symmetry, but form something with a so-called long-range entanglement. Long-range entanglement. It's like a quantum power state, like a topological quantum field theory. So, but in all this situation, we can see 2 things happens. Either you have a gapless mode, or you have a degeneracy. The degeneracy may come from symmetry breaking, or may come from topological order. The gapless mode can also come from symmetry breaking for continuous group higher dimension, symmetry breaking give you ghost star mode. Or maybe it's just from some symmetry protection. But in any case, in all this situation, the boundary state are either degenerate or gapless. So that is make it non-trivial. You don't have option, it's a non-degenerate gap phase. It's not possible. Yeah. Yeah, so here we assume in the bulk, the symmetry is not spontaneously broken.
So spontaneous.
This is what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bulk is a gap. Yeah.
Okay.
The bulk is a gap. Then the edge state only have these three choices, actually. And
why the bulk can be gapped while the boundary cannot? So is it because the dimensionality of the boundary?
Exactly, because this actual twist, although trivial, when you have closed manifold, when you have open manifold, this actual topological term gives you non-trivial sign. So in the Python level, would have a plus minus sign, so have a lot of sign fluctuation. So that's my intuition. When the Python have a sign fluctuation, it means they have non-trivial dynamics, which may not be always true, but here that's the intuition I use. You know, for the gap phase, the integrand in Python is always equal to 1. They don't fluctuate. So you add the letter 1 is a gap. But when you have Western the Witten term on the boundary with the boundary, then the sign fluctuates a lot for non-trivial dynamics, and this is what non-trivial dynamics gave us. So actually there is a proposal that because the situation is very difficult. Actually, I was in Santa Barbara, and Matthew Fisher said that maybe we should use this topological order on the edge, try to classify this SPD phase in the bulk. Because this seems the simplest. And so for the given SPD on the bulk, there are only certain kind of topological order can appear on the edge that may encode something about symmetry protection. Yeah, Evelyn, maybe.
I'm just wondering, can group cohomology also describe long-range entangled states?
No.
Why not?
Actually, yes and no. Here, in this language, this is, again, very, very good question. You know, we wish we describe everything here. That's the long-term goal. But this is very hard. You know, we don't know what kind of mathematics we should use to describe every phase here. But then we ask the following, can we make problem easier? We carve out some easier problem so then we can have a good story. Then certainly the shorter entanglement is a way to make things easier. So that's why now we concentrate on the shorter entangled states. And indeed, it make it easier. Looks like for the shorter entangled state with the symmetry, we can have this story. Although again, this is not complete story. May not be complete story. And but seems it's a very good story. Seems this can classify, if not all, at least most of the phase. But certainly we wish we have a theory which also include long-range entangled states. So actually, maybe in the end, I may mention something. Actually, this is a direction. So now we understand the symmetry breaking, shorter entangled. Now we are trying to go from here to here and see what kind of mathematics we should develop here. Yeah.
But no, I guess I'm asking, is there any property of group cohomology that makes it evident that it only describes short range entanglements and not anything more?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Unfortunately, I couldn't answer this question. And so our reasoning is a constructive. We just construct example. We don't understand. We don't use short entanglement as an input to classify. So that's why I cannot claim this classify everything. We just systematically construct a lot of states, and we are hoping our construction is complete. Then we say it's classification, but we are not so sure. So the reason, at least this construction, only gave us shorter entangled states. You know, that's what we discussed last Friday. That is we can find this new tool, this function, such that on every closed path, this product equal to 1. And then you can show that this defines the path integral. Using path integral, you can also calculate ground states. You can show that this ground state wave function can be transformed to the product states if you break symmetry. Explicitly, yeah, everything is explicit construction. So everything we construct here is indeed a shorter entangled. But we don't know whether this particular construction gave us all the shorter entangled states. You know, we're really wishing we can derive, starting from shorter entanglement, there's some axioms, Then from the axion, we can really derive what Schrodinger tensor should look like and behave like. But at the moment, we don't have that. And so this is a, that's why this, we are not quite sure this is a classification, but this is a very, very important question. Yeah.
So this discussion here in this blackboard,
yeah,
this refers to short range entanglement.
Yeah, these are all short entangled states.
Short range.
Yeah, so that in bulk states are short entangled. So basically, we are talking about this case.
What's the origin of the gaplessness of the boundary theory in 2 plus 1?
Yeah, this is a very, very good question. And I don't have a good answer. My own answer is that if you multiply this factor on the closed manifold, they always put 1. So then all the paths is 1, the fluctuation is kind of trivial. Then it's a, but however, once you have a boundary, for non-trivial, for non-trivial cocycle, the product of the factor is no longer equal to 1. And they have a strong phase fluctuation. And that means I don't know. but here, I translate I don't know to I know. I say, since I don't know, so I think it's a gapless. but this strong phase fluctuation indicates there's a non-trivial dynamics. And I try to say maybe this non-trivial dynamic give us gapless.
And this in at the boundary is there chirality and this kind of theories or?
Again, very good question. So let me since you asked this question, so let's give another example here. Suppose this group is SU2. Okay, then for SU2, then actually must be gapless. Then what is this? So then I can say that. Because SU2, if groups SU2, then the group homology is H3, SU2, U1, it's a Z. So it means it's an element are integers. So that means we have a many states labeled by integer. So this so I say K belongs to Z. So this integer K just label different SPD phase here. Then we ask, for the SPD phase labeled by K, what is the edge state? The answer is the following. The edge state is a SU2K cross L cross SU2K R. So this is a CFT. So this is basically is that the to say that it have a this SU2K L SU2K is at the Kasumuni algebra of level K. So you have a right moving sector and the left moving sector, this Kasumuni algebra of level K. But however, this SU2 only act on one sector, say left sector. The right sector is completely neutral. It's just there. So the symmetry is a chiral, but the excitation is not chiral. If the excitation is chiral, that means topological order. But the left and right always pair. But however, symmetry action is chiral. Symmetry only acts on the left mover, not on the right mover. So therefore, if you do not break symmetry, this right mover, left mover cannot be paired. They cannot be gapped. So this is a, sorry. But then what is Kasumuni algebra level K? Then for the condensed matter paragon, this kind of like a SU2 spin chain, but you have a K copy for that, roughly speaking. You have a K copy for SU2 spin chain. But certainly, you know, for K positive and negative K, that means this physical S2 either act on the right moving sector or right moving sector. That determines sign for K. When K to zero, there's nothing, no gapless edge states. That's trivial. But for non-trivial K, either right moving sector carry SU2 quantum number or left moving sector carry SU2 quantum number. But they're always paired. Yeah. If you have diagonal SU2, you don't break diagonal SU2. You preserve diagonal SU2. But however, if SU2 only acts on right moving sector, the operator which make them gap would break this so-called chiral SU2.
Preserve the diagonal.
Preserve diagonal, yeah. But however, our physical symmetry is not diagonal, it's chiral. So that's the nature of this edge state. The edge state are described by the by this non-linguistic model where the physical symmetry actually act chirally. That's the key. So although in the bulk, the H2 act on every side, but once you have this term on the boundary, the edge effect theory will be this principal non-linguistic model where the physical S2 act in a chiral manner. That's a key thing. Yes.
So the reason why I was asking this is might be related to the previous question. So the result that says that you cannot spontaneously break a continuous symmetry in 1 plus 1,
yeah.
Does it include when you have a chiral theory?
I think you don't break, I agree. Yeah, that theorem don't apply.
That would not apply.
Let me describe it to you. The situation on the boundary is different. That's one thing I'm going to say. This chiral symmetry, since probably I won't talk about the gates here. Anyway, let me continue. there's a related question. I think in the literature, this is a confusion point, a confusing point, which is also a very important point. There's a tendency to think since the bulk has non-trivial order. So this edge theory can only define as a boundary of something, not purely on the boundary. That's not the case here. Because the bulk actually have a shorter entanglement. This is very important. The bulk has shorter entanglement. Actually, that's implied that the old edge theory can be purely defined as a boundary theory. So all this. Actually, this have a very interesting implication. For the topological insulator, people usually say the boundary of a topological insulator cannot be defined as a boundary theory. It has to appear as a bulk. I don't have a proof, but I tend not to agree with that. I think for the topological insulator, you can have a purely edge states, which only give you one copy of a Marano frame. This is Dirac frame. Yeah.
So that would be a 1 plus 1 model with chirality?
No.
Oh, that's 2.
Yeah, that's two, in 2 plus 1 is, yeah. So that's what I think.
So,
because in one part dimension, in one dimension, the edge is non-chiral. You have both right more left more, just they carry a different spin quantum number or something. But I believe this can be, so I believe this is a general property for the SPT phase. The boundary theory can be fully described by purely a boundary Hamiltonian on the lattice, even with the cutoff. But you have to give up something. I will describe what you gave up, yes?
Can you write a lattice model in 2 plus 1 dimensions that gives you one copy of wire frames? Is that possible?
Yeah, just a less more random. I don't know what is the wire frame. I'm always confused with this.
Yeah, sigma dot p with two-dimensional
polynomial. But it's a right mover, left mover. You have both. You have a both right mover and left mover. And then this can be written even 1 power 1d is true. So this again, this is something will be interesting to work out. But I believe it can be done. And but then I will try to say what you gave up. Yes.
Was there some parity anomaly?
Hmm?
Was there some parity anomaly?
Parity anomaly?
What?
Maybe, yes. But the things, I mean, what parity means? Space parity or Fermi number parity?
Space.
Yes, that's maybe. The point is that when you have a boundary, the parity is broken explicitly. The things, this became tricky. Yeah. So actually, this is one difficulty to study this kind of system with a point group and a translation group. In a bulk, lattice rotation and the translation group do protect something, but to have a boundary to see that became fairly non-trivial because the boundary necessarily breaks the symmetry. Then you lose those effects. With unset symmetry, the boundary don't break symmetry, so you could preserve some effect. So there's a subtle thing. But let me see what you gave up. And so there's a very important notion, sort of unsaid symmetry. The unsaid symmetry means that suppose we have a symmetry group G and we have this element belong to G. Then the action, the symmetry will be the representation of this action, which act on this many body states. Let me emphasize this is many body states. And however, we have a statement is that this UG should be written as a product of this dual product, to be more precise, on all the sides. So this UIG act on side I. Yeah. So this is a very important feature. That is that usually when we consider a global symmetry, we implicitly assume this structure. That is the total symmetry transformation can be decomposed as a direct product of symmetry transformation on each side. So this we call unsaid symmetry. Okay. And it turns out this is what we have to give up on the boundary. That is all this edge theory can be written as a purely a boundary Hamiltonian on the lattice. But however, the symmetry action on the boundary Hamiltonian are necessarily not unsaid. It's not unsaid. And so not unsaid means if this decomposition fails, we no longer have this decomposition. And actually, this is another way to do this. The abstraction to have this decomposition actually described by the group cohomology. That's another way to have a group cohomology. Yeah.
Does it mean that in the continuous you don't have a current, conserved current in the boundary?
You have, still have conserved current. It's a, I don't know. This is still a still symmetry in the sense we still this is well defined, and such that this UG and the Hamiltonian is still invariant. And this is still more or less local. Yeah, this is still more or less. I agree. That would be really, really interesting. I don't know. So let me describe this more concretely. See, this is actually a very, very important question. And so I claim is that even including topological translator, you can write down a purely boundary fermion to describe the boundary state topological translator, provided that this time reversal symmetry and the partial number symmetry are realized in such very strange way. And to get some intuition of this, let me give you a very simple example for the Z2 symmetry case. For Z2 symmetry case, we just have some spin. So this is a 2 plus 1D system, but the boundary is one dimensional. Then what kind of a Z2 symmetry we can have? Z2 symmetry is simply, so this Z2 symmetry is just a non-trivial one, just a single one. It's given by product of sigma x I. So that's just flip spin. That's Z2 symmetry. Then we need actual twist. The actual twist turns out to be the product of I, let's call the CZ I plus 1. So CZ I plus 1 act on these two sides, act on these two spin. It's actually very simple. CZ I plus 1 equal to 1, or equal to minus 1 for, let me do this, act on down down equal to minus down down. And the CZ I plus 1 equal to 1 otherwise. It's just when you see two down spin, you add the actual minus sign. Otherwise, they don't add, and it's plus sign. Just some sign. And so this is the nature of the Z2 symmetry. Actually, the very interesting, if you write on the Ising model, one dimensional transverse S-field Ising model with this symmetry, such a 1D model have a no gapped phase that do not break symmetry. They either break symmetry or gapless. No, that's an example. These two symmetry. So that's an example. U square is the one actually. This has to be on the ring. I think this has to be on the ring. If you flip, I think there's something. This maybe has to be on the ring, and I think it can be even number, odd number. It's just both are fine. Yeah, this is very important because if you have an open boundary, the whole thing changes. So because this is a non-local, and this only defined on the ring without boundary. But you know the boundary have no boundary, so we can do that. Yeah, the Hamiltonian will be ordinary. You know, with the symmetry, this will be like this. You know, sigma z I, sigma z j. This will be symmetric, and then we want to add this magnetic field term sigma z I, but this term breaks it. This one, but we can fix that by I think by saying like I. Minus one x, something like I z and I plus one x, something like that. For this combination, I don't remember exactly. If you combine these two terms, then this kind of Hamiltonian will be invariant under this symmetry with z2. And then you can just do DMRG on this. And you find there's no phase which do not break symmetry. Usually, when H is very big, if the spin is polarized, you get a phase which do not break symmetry and a unique ground state. And even for very large H, this don't happen. Yeah. So this is the point is that somehow we can have a boundary theory, but the boundary theory don't have on-site symmetry. You have a symmetry, but which is realized in a non-on-site way. And this is an example for non-on-site symmetry. I think the several features are important. One is they're still more or less local. You can see they're still local operator. They don't involve operator which is cover everything. It's more or less local. And but in higher dimension, we should have something similar. But and actually, this is phase factor. It's a pure phase factor. It turns out this pure phase factor can be written in terms of co-cycles. So there's a way you can add arbitrary phase factor, then by running the math to see whether it's still a group and still something. And then actually, the possible phase factor you can put in here, which is still make it this group transformation, which became co-cycle condition and things like that. So that's another way. Do this. So this is maybe the kind of bigger picture of what's going on. Yeah, it's a little bit non-trivial. I have to do the model. It's not straightforward. Yeah, so it's not straightforward. Yeah, in the physical degree freedom in the bulk, the symmetry act locally, just on-site way. And this is the effective edge degree freedom, which is some kind of composition of a bulk degree freedom. It's very important. Actually, there's a fractionalization. Actually, it's very important to split the bulk degree freedom on each side into several partial degree freedom. And then, and the degree freedom on the edge, it is a partial bulk spin degree freedom. It's kind of like your split spin in the bulk in two projectile rotation. Then this edge is a one projectile rotation, not the other. And it's kind of like that, have that flavor. So this kind of spin is kind of like a fractionalized spin. And this phase factor is the price you pay because you fractionalize it. So you can allow to have this phase factor. No. Okay, since you have these questions, then let me really describe the model. Then I really don't have time to talk about the gauge theory. But anyway, that's fine. So the model we have is a model on every side we have a four spin 1/2. So this is the one side. So that's one model we realize this phase. Okay. So this each side have a spin 1/2, so just up and down. And it's important that so there's a 16 state per side. And the action of the Z2 is very simple. That is the action of Z2 is given by this. You just view this as a one dimensional ring. Yeah. So the action of Z2 just like that. So the flip spin, but adding this extra phase depend on whether neighboring spin are both down or not. It's a very strange way. Then because this actual phase, each individual qubits are no longer representation of Z2. Although these four qubits together form representation of Z2, but each individual one is not. Okay. But this is how symmetry acts. But what is the Grund's wave function? The Grund's wave function, let me write this way. Is an entangled plaquette of these four qubits. It's very similar, just O up plus O down. And turns out that if you do this entangled plaquette for every four qubits on two dimensional lattice, the whole wave function actually is invariant under this Z2 symmetry. But the edge, now you can see, using this, you can understand edge state. You cut edge here. This is your boundary. So on the edge, you can see these two qubits get entangled with an internal one. So they kind of absorbed. But however, these two qubits have this kind of entanglement. So these two are always the same. But however, outside is not paired. So these two qubits give us this effective spin on the boundary. And these two always flash together, both up, both down. So that's a one. So this is the spin over there. Then this pair give us another spin, just like that. But from entanglement structure, the internal one, they're all entangled together. So you can see those are unentangled with the internal one. From entanglement point of view, they are unentangled. But from a symmetry point of view, the symmetry operates in a very strange way. The symmetry operates on this with a minus sign. So symmetry somehow link them. So at the end, what effect is that the effective symmetry act on the boundary states acquire this actual phase. But from entanglement point of view, the boundary degree freedom are really unentangled with the bulk degree freedom. So it is this intuition that makes him believe the topological insulator is similar. From entanglement point of view, they are totally unentangled from the bulk. So you could have a pure edge theory. But however, the symmetry acts in a very funny way. Yeah. So it would be really nice to find such a realization. Actually, the edge state of a topological insulator can be written as a purely boundary theory on the lattice. But the symmetry acts in a very funny way. So this is a nature of these states. Yes. The thing is, if partition function is on the closed manifold, then.
Okay. I mean on the open.
On the open, then there's a.
So I mean, but function of the boundary is a thing only.
Yeah. I think they still have a. I think partition function still invariant under symmetry, except that this the symmetry act on this effective degree of freedom have some twist. So actually, it's the following thing: is that from field theory, is that somehow symmetry only acts on the right mover, not on the left mover. Usually, this is hard to realize.
That's anomalous.
Yeah, it's anomalous probably. So maybe that's a language. That is the edge theory is a non-chiral, but the symmetry act in an anomalous way. The symmetry has to be, I don't know. Yeah, this is a little beyond my knowledge. Whether one can, because here I'm using this onset or non-onset to explain the stringiness of how symmetry acts on the boundary. Maybe the more general language is the symmetry acts in an anomalous way.
I'm wondering this theory, if you put the bad theory on the manifold.
Yes.
I mean, if that's what is the Hilbert space, also, that would space special manifold of material topology.
Yes.
So a long tangent entanglement theory will give you a finite vector space.
Exactly.
But short tangent entanglement should be one vector space.
One vector space.
Well, one dimension.
Yeah, one dimension vector space.
Is it possible this is still a non trivial representation of G?
I don't know. Yeah, this will be very, very interesting. So this is a weak point of our understanding at the moment, is that we have an explicit construction of the model, but we don't know what is topological invariance. Yeah. So if you know topological invariance, we can even detect topological invariance for generic non-fixed point model, some generic tensor network model. But we really dying to know how to measure this cohomology. Can you construct some topological invariant? Even for generic model, you can measure. There is some work in 1+1 dimension, but in higher dimension, we don't have a systematic work in this. Yeah. Okay. So actually, I didn't talk anything I planned. Let me say the results. So the result actually is similar. Is that so for the non-link state model, we put a G on the vertex. Okay. For the gauge theory, it's very simple. We put a GIJ, let's use a capital G, on the link I and J. So that's the lattice gauge theory. So there's some kind of a group transformation. So actually this Gij is like e to the I, Aij, some kind of a link variable. Okay. And then certainly there's some gauge invariance or some condition. Then we can use the same story. Okay, let's write this gauge theory as a product of triangle, but with some kind of a, we call alpha 2, depend on Gij. On this 3H, why not? We just do that. So that's our action, you know. Then we sum over all the possible Gij, do the path integral. So that's kind of lattice gauge theory. And the other thing also kind of similar is that, but for lattice gauge theory, we have one more requirement. We say that this alpha equal to zero of phase, dependent on whether the product of this 3GIJ is a trivial or non-trivial. If the product of this 3GIJ is trivial, that means there is no flux through the triangle. We say that only in this case, alpha is not zero. If a flux is non-trivial, we say alpha equals zero. So that's a flat connection condition. Then with this condition, then we say that the alpha for zero flux can be a phase. And this phase satisfies the condition that this product equals to one. And that's give you a topological gate theory. And you ask, how many ways to have this choice phase equal to one? That's kind of non-trivial. And then you follow the same mathematics, exactly this same group cohomology, basically. And so there's a way to do that. So therefore we see that for discrete gauge group, we can have this discrete gauge theory actually is a long-ring entangled states. But however, for each discrete gauge theory, we can add, so it's a gauge. We can add a twist. And this twist happens to classify by this same thing. Okay. For discrete gauge theory, there's a for the given gauge group, there's many of them. Have the twist. And this gauge theory and this SPD phase have a very close relation because they are classified by exactly the same thing. And the understanding is that that's this Gu and Levin's paper. That is the relation between these two is that if you gauge this global symmetry in this nonlinear thing model with this topological term, you will obtain this twisted gauge theory. And so the twist of nonlinear thing model and the twist of gauge theory is the same thing. So if you gauge the global symmetry group into a local one, you will get this one. And this actually led to a way to get topological invariants. That is, in the gauge theory, the charge of a gauge theory can have a fraction of statistics and things like that. And then that means some branch cut in this SPD phase where the symmetry, you go through branch cut, if you make a non-trivial string transmission through the branch cut, this branch cut may have something non-trivial. So that's the one thing. But however, there's a more interesting thing for this. So basically, what we learned is that the SPT with a group G have this one-to-one duality mapping with a gauge with a group G. So you can map. And recently, Yin Ren have considered the following consideration. Suppose we have a group G1. Suppose we have SPT with a group G1 plus G2. Okay. Then he asks, what if you do the duality transformation only in G2, not in G1? Then he claims that this one is due to this the gauge theory with the gauge group G2, but with the symmetry group G1. Because G1 is still global, it's not local. Not dualized, but the only due to the G2, so G2 became local. And this is very interesting because this theory is here. It's a long-ring entangled with a symmetry. It's here. And they say this particular long-ring entangled with a symmetry is classified by this HD plus one. T1 plus T2 with the U1. So the all different gauge theory with gauge group G2 and the symmetry group G1 is classified by this object. And so there's a lot of a story waiting to be developed, actually. This is a very, very new result. And so looks like this duality seems to play an important role, which allows us to connect from here to here, if you do the partial dual transformation, we can get here. That's a, and so, but certainly there's a lot of story. So this is only partial story. There's a, hopefully there's a more general situation. Yeah. But again, the bottom line, it's like what I said last Friday, is that we can have a theory, we can add this 2-pi twist. The 2-pi twist give you something new. We can twist non-linear model, give us SPT phase. We can twist the gauge theory, which give us a topological gauge theory, and et cetera. And in the diagraph written, they try to understand the chain summon theory using this framework. Actually, in diagraph written, it's a way, one way to understand diagraph written is that they try to add in this kind of twist to gauge theory, and you can obtain chain summon theory from this point of view. Yeah. Okay, I think we should finish here. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah.
Last time you said that there was some counterexample constructed work, like back to the short range case. Like this is a, you mean you stake, and also the symmetry group for the Hamiltonian. Then you hope to break that. I mean, hope to quantify also this.
You know, in the paper by Ashwin and Sanzio and Ashwin, they think they construct example which is beyond this classification in three dimension. I'm not so sure whether their result is right, but I have to digest that because their calculation is based on field theory. So I'm not sure their field theory can be put on a lattice, whether their field theory can be regulated or not, whether there's UV completion or not. And 2 days ago, I received an email from Zheng Chen, and he said, GitHub seems to have a three-dimensional model with a time reversal symmetry. And that seems beyond this. But with time reversal symmetry, there are some little bit of tricky thing. We don't know what to do. When we do time reversal symmetry, we do not do anything to the branching structure. So there's a, you know, we don't know whether when you do time reversal is a string you reverse. It's like a point group in space time. So with time reversal, maybe we should do this, we also should reverse arrow also. So time reversal, I'm not so sure because we don't understand the spatial parity reflection because that's like a point group. The time reversal may also like that, maybe have additional subtlety, so that is possible. But without time reversal for the unsided unitary group, this may be complete, but time reversal and the parity symmetry should be considered separately. It could be. Yeah. Okay, yeah, maybe you can start.